Bibles, Proverbs chapter 29 is where we'll start. Won't stay there long, but Proverbs chapter 29. And I will say this, I am extremely thankful as I finish up. Annual church business meeting will make it my second year in the books as the pastor of the church. And if I were to name everybody in the church who's been a blessing, I would just name all the names. So I'm especially grateful. We've got a lot of good men in this church who they work in the ministries and they help out, and ladies in the Sunday school classes. We've had so many ladies in the nurseries and just taking care of things and junior church. And it's over and over again. I do ask that you do pray for Brother Larry. He does have to put up with me until we're done writing Redeeming Hope. And we're almost there. We are almost there. Then we have to revise it probably two or three more times and try to iron out all the mistakes that we've made. But that's been one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. And it's also been one of the best things I think I've ever done in my life. And so I'm looking forward to see what the Lord does with it. We have other churches that have asked about it, and some of them want to know more. And I said, well, it's not done. So some of them have looked at it and said, man, I really like what's going on. I'd love to see the whole thing. And I don't know. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with it in the future, but it's been unbelievable writing that this year, and what the Lord's doing. My family... Melanie is unbelievably good to me, and it's amazing how much she's had to step up and do different things. And I know people go, well, she knew you were in the ministry when you got married, like that's, you know, but nobody knows what the ministry is like until you're in the ministry. And you can describe it all day long, and you can ask anybody, you don't know what it is until you're doing it. And some weeks are rougher than others, and that's just how it is. And, of course, we added Mela this year, so total difference right there. My boys are brutes. That's all there is to it. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 18, of course. Proverbs 29 and verse number 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We're about to step off. We've got roughly 3.5 hours left of this year, and we'll step into next year. And the question then comes, well, what vision do you have? What foresight do you have for 2025? What are you hoping for? Oftentimes, we have hopes and dreams, and we have aspirations we'd like, and most of the time, we often put it like, way in the future. we go, well, you know, eventually I would like, and eventually I would, and eventually, okay, well, let's do some more realistic thought. What would you like in your family this year? What's the vision for your family? What do you want it to look like at the end of the year? You know, we oftentimes set goals that are far too lofty and ahead of us. They're never attainable. And we lose focus because we've set them so far ahead that there's no way for us to gain them. I do like listening to Jordan Peterson on occasion. I don't like sit there and listen to his podcast or do anything like that. But every once in a while, I see something from him. I usually enjoy it. Lost man, but he's got far more wisdom than a lot of other lost people. And he's you know, I think he may be looking for the truth. I don't know. I hope he gets saved, honestly. He'd make a great Christian if he ever figured it out. One of the things, he's a psychologist, and he deals with people. He deals with different things. One of the things he said was, you know, sometimes you have to do is you just have to set a goal low enough. Now, most of the time we think, no, you got to set it high, right, so that I can reach, and if I fall short, at least I tried something great. He said, you know, sometimes the thing you need to do is you need to set the bar low enough that you can actually get over it so you actually feel like you've achieved something in your life. Most people are, they feel like they're failures the whole time. And they will be unwilling to set a lower mark because they feel like it's beneath them to do that. I would think that you can kind of get a little wisdom from that idea, that you can set a lower mark and understand that God can take you beyond that. Some people, maybe in this room, you've never read through the entire Bible. It looks like a daunting task. So how about this? How about you say, well, you know what I'll do? I'll get the Bible reading calendar back there, and what I'll do is I'll read my Bible according to the Bible reading calendar for 1 week. See how I do. We'll see if I can do this for a week. That doesn't seem like a big goal. It's not. But if you've never done it before, it's a pretty big goal. But it's attainable. You know what, I find that we struggle because we put the bar too far out in front of us and go, okay, I got to make it to that. Now we all know, right, that the vision that we're supposed to have ultimately is Hebrews chapter 12. We're supposed to be looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And our goal is Jesus. How many of you feel like you can attain that goal in this life before he sounds a trumpet and we go home? How many of you think we're going to be perfect like Jesus today? Well, obviously we're not. We're walking around in this sinful flesh. Our biggest problem is me, right? I fail because I'm an idiot, right? I find things, I do things, I know better and I do the wrong thing. And then I turn around and go, oh, how did that happen? How it happened. You chose to do the wrong thing. That's how it happened. You knew better and you didn't do. All right. And so we know the answer. The thing is, we go, well, I want to be just like Jesus. So, okay. Yeah, but could you try to be like Jesus for maybe 2 or 3 minutes? What is that? That's a much more realistic goal than trying to do that for the next 40 years. But if you could get 5 minutes today, then maybe tomorrow you could get 10. And we build, and we try to gain. And so here's a big question for you. What's a realistic goal for you, for your family? What vision do you have for your family? What do you want this year? Oftentimes we set these odd, right? We go ahead, we make our New Year's resolutions, and we try to decide, you know, hey, this is what I want to do. But Larry's very excited because he knows what I'm about to say right here. Tomorrow, I'm 100% carnivore again. Carnivore diet's back tomorrow, 100%. Boom. I'm going to eat pizza tonight and I'm going to be miserable tomorrow. Amen. We have goals. We have physical goals, but there's some spiritual goals you should have. There's some thought process we should have. What do you want to see happen? Most of the time, the reason you don't grow in your spiritual walk, the reason your family doesn't succeed, the reason your money's messed up, the reason you have the problems that you do have is that you don't think about a goal to have. You don't think about what you're going for. And where there is no vision, the people perish. The rule is that if you continue to do the same things over and over again, you will gain the same goals you've always had. The results will be exactly the same. You will fail in the same places you failed every other time, and you will not gain what God wants you to gain. So then the question comes, what do I even want? Have you ever been in the place where you thought about it for a minute and you go, I really don't even know? He asked the question, I have no idea. We're writing Redeeming Hope. Some of the questions we ask the question, and people are like, what are you looking for? They want to know, well, what's the right answer? There is no right answer. There's no textbook right answer. So what are you trying to do? I'm trying to get them to think about something they've never thought about before. Tonight, I want you to think about something maybe you've never thought of before. What do you want? How do you want to end 2025? We've talked about it. Testimonies have been given. There were ups and downs, there were bumps in the road, there were things I'd never expected to happen. That's normal. That's just called life. But if there's some things in your life you actually could control, there's some things in your life that if you got a vision for it and a desire to have it, isn't the idea God would give you the desires of your heart? Well, if your desires match His desires, you'll get it. That's easy enough. What do you want? I find most of the time we are, don't take this as an insult, we're brainless on that side. We don't think about it. Our brain never engages in the idea of what could I want? What do you want a victory over? What do you want your kids to be like when they get just another year older? What do you want to get done at the house? What do you want to do for missions? What do you want to do for soul winning? Hey, I have a question. Have you ever thought, how many souls could I win this year? Is there a number to shoot for? Oh, that's a numbers game. No, it's just a goal. Maybe you've never won anybody, and your goal could be, can I just get one this year? I'm just going to go after one. And go after it till you get it. See, the reason we don't set goals is we decide, well, you know, if I don't set a goal, then I never fail. Yeah, but you also never succeed. Maybe there's a number out there for you for how many gospel tracts you'd like to give out this year. So this is all numbers. No, it's just goals. What could you do? Maybe there's some time you'd like. Maybe you'd like to see yourself spend some more time in prayer. How much time would be the right time? Maybe you need to ask the Lord, hey, Lord, I need some goals, and I have none. What kind of goals can I get? What, Lord, what do you want my family to look like at the end of the year? Maybe you've got family issues. Maybe you've got troubles and problems and struggles that are happening right now, but you don't want those same struggles a year from now. Lord, what do I do to change? I want something better than this. In your own life, aren't you supposed to grow? Your spiritual walk supposed to continue to increase? All right, you got any goals to how to increase your spiritual walk right now? How do I do that? You don't have any ideas? This is the problem I think we have in Christianity. We are so consumed with the idea that we need a vision, and the vision is just all the way at the end goal, and it's Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be just like Him, but none of us have a great path to get to Him. Instead, it is always just generalized. I'm going to be like Jesus. Okay, what do you have to change to be like Jesus? And the answer is different for you than it is for me. The answer for what your family needs to change to be more like a family that Jesus Christ is happy and pleased with is different than the things that I have to change. There's things in your life, there's different, we're all different ages in here, we're different groups. Some have young kids, some have older kids, some have no kids, they're all out of the nest now. Everybody, okay, what do you need? What can you change? Is there any vision? Or is it just the same mundane? We get up in the morning and we do our thing and we go about our day, and every day ends the same, and it goes down, the sun goes down, and tomorrow morning it's going to rise, and we're just going to keep, and there's no vision for what you could be. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm just going to give you a couple more thoughts and we'll be done. I'm pretty much throwing out my message, all right? So just for the record, I have no notes now. All right, let's pray. Father, I do pray you would be with me, help me, Lord, as I preach tonight. I pray you would help it to be a blessing and a help, an encouragement, a strengthening. I pray you just give us a vision for what you want us to be. Father, we love you, and I do pray you would come back soon. I pray we wouldn't make it to midnight. I pray a trumpet sound, we'd get to go home. But Father, if not, as we step into 2025, I pray our vision would be right on and set for the right direction, the right course. I pray you would help us to be making steps to be closer in our walk with our Savior, to be more like you. And Father, I pray once again you'd bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't normally preach like this, but I'm gonna be a little bit different tonight since I just scrapped all of my notes, all right? Have a little thought process with me. We know the main goal is to be like Jesus. That's easy. We all understand that. We all know that we're supposed to be looking for heaven. We're supposed to be looking for the sound of a trumpet, and we're waiting for the day that, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ shows up. We know that one day He's coming, and immediately we will be changed and be just like Him, and everything else will be done. We will have received the prize of the high calling of God, and will be transformed from this awful, terrible, vile body and fashioned like unto His glorious body. We'll get it all in a moment, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye. We'll have it all, and it'll all be fixed. And we're looking for that day, and we're supposed to be looking to a harvest of souls, right? That's the normal course of every message on the vision, right? The vision is you got to be like Jesus, you got to look at Him, and if you're looking at Him, you'll go toward Him. That's true. Well, okay. Well, then you'd be looking up toward heaven, waiting His return. And so you'll get the vision. And if you have that vision, then you'll be wanting to win souls to take them with you. And so you'll look to the harvest, because He told you to look onto the fields, for they are white already onto harvest. And so on. And so you'll have all these things. And when you're done, everything's great and you look like Jesus. How do you accomplish any of that? That's a great thought. But the difficulty we have is the how do I do that? We can generalize it over and over again, but until you figure out for you what you need to change, then what it takes is it takes a comparison between what you're looking at and what you are. We look at Jesus Christ. Okay, we understand who He is. You're working through Redeeming Hope, and you say, you're taking a lot of notes from Redeeming Hope. I've been working on it for a year. Brother Larry and I, so all these verses are all stuck in there. We're talking about doing two things. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. If the Spirit of God is working in you, you automatically gain fruit. That's a byproduct. Fruit is a product. It's a product of being attached to the vine and having the Holy Spirit. That's a product. If you're walking in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're walking in the Spirit, you'll have the fruit of the Spirit. If you have the fruit of the Spirit, you'll have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You'll have it all. And it'll abound and it'll multiply, and some will be 30 and 60 and 100-fold, and you'll keep gaining fruit. And then the other is 2 Peter chapter 1. Add to your faith. And you're supposed to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience brotherly kindness. No, that's not right. Whew, skipped one. Back it up. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he hath been purged from his old sins. He goes back to forgetting who he was. And so he returns to who he was because he didn't continue doing. Now here's the deal. How do I put those things in place? How do I start having these things? How do I get closer to walking with God? How do I get closer to being just like Jesus Christ? It's every decision we make. Every decision you make either brings you into the will of God or takes you out of it. You're either walking in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, or you're walking in the flesh and you're not fulfilling the will of the Spirit. You're deciding. And every decision you make is part of that. So, if you don't have a vision to change certain things, you will make the same decisions on instinct. So you have to consciously make a choice. We deal with this in Redeeming Hope. We deal with it in every marriage counseling I've ever done. The answer is, if you would like to repeat, just continue. Just keep doing what you've always done. If you want to repeat the home you were raised in, don't make any changes. Just do everything that comes naturally to you. You'll fail, just like your parents failed. You say, my parents didn't fail. Look at me. I'm wonderful. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. No parent is perfect. Every parent has failures, right? So where they failed, your hope is, I don't want my home to do that. I want to succeed in that area instead. Well, then you have to choose what's different about your home than your parents' home. It's a choice. Now, there's some things they did great, so your answer is, I'm going to repeat those. I want those. Well, then you have to actively have a vision to put that into your home. So as far as the family goes, you know what you start to learn? You start to learn, okay, what is good for my family and what is not good? Okay, now I have to choose. And now how do I put those into place? That is the rules that you must set. Gentlemen, that's on us. And ladies, you got to back us up. Because some of it's nothing we want to do. Realize this, just like you, everybody has a flesh. And just like you, when we choose to do the right thing, none of us like it. I've given counsel to parents this year. And one of the things I said is, you just have to be more stubborn and mean than your children are. What does that mean? That means you know what's right and none of you want it. So if your punishment is no internet in the house, I'm shutting it down. Oh, how could I live like that? Then shut it down. No internet after 8 o'clock. Boom, shut it down. Well, how could I possibly survive? You'll survive. If your kids can't handle it and you can't handle it, then shut it down. That is insanity. Yeah, that's because you don't want to do it right. Whatever it is that you need to shut down, the answer is none of us are going to like it, and none of us are going to like the reaction of our children who need it to be broken, whatever it is. Whatever you're doing is going to have to be, well, I want my home to be like God wants my home. And if my home is going to be like God wants it to be, then everybody's going to suffer together. And eventually, what happens? The suffering alleviates. And people get used to just being in the liberty that they have. It's when we've been out of bounds on our liberties and we have to rein those things back in that we don't like it. It's uncomfortable for us. Because our flesh doesn't like that you've put limitations upon what it can and cannot do. Say, how long it'll last? Depends on how stubborn your children are. Which is why I will suffer a lot for every one of those that I have to do. Say why? Because they're my kids, so they're automatically stubborn and more stubborn. All right? And what do I do? Find what you ought to change and make the change. I understand. Some people, they got saved later in life. They got saved. They already had the kids. They already have all these things, and now they have to make changes. Those are harder. Why? Because your kid is going from darkness to light. Big change. And they're always going to be changing because you had to change your life. And as you change your life, you recognize, oh, these things are bad. I need to stop these. But they've already been doing them, so it's harder for them. And over again. How about this? That's just in your home life. I'm going to try and hurry now. I promise. The pizza is almost here. That's your home life. How about your spiritual life? You want to be like Jesus Christ, then you know what you ought to figure out? Who's Jesus Christ? The desire of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And he talks about how he has not apprehended, but he's going to apprehend. And as many of us as be perfect, we forget the things that are behind and we reach forth to the things that are before and we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You say, what's that? That's being like him. We're pressing constantly toward that mark. But your Christian walk, how do you attain that? I'll tell you this, you don't accidentally end up like Jesus. That does not happen on accident. So where are you failing in matching up with Jesus Christ? Where are you failing? Because it doesn't matter where I'm failing for you. It matters where you're failing. For you, you have to think, it's not what my spouse is doing, it's not what my kids are failing at, it's not what my parents fail at. It is, where am I failing to match up to Jesus Christ? Okay, how do I fix that? God, how do I fix that? You say, well, yeah, but there's so many of them. Then start with an easy one. Don't go ahead and grab the biggest problem you have and try and fix it. I learned this I learned this at one of the pastor schools. One of the best advice you will ever get on fixing problems. Move the smallest ones first. So that doesn't make any sense. Because the big ones are conditional upon the small ones. How many small right decisions do you make and all of a sudden everything else kind of slides right back into place? Always. The major things are always conditional upon the minor things. We overlook, right, the small foxes that spoil the vines. And we lose out on, oh, well, I need God in these big things. No, you need Him in the small things. Because all those little pieces, as you start to move them around, you know what you'll find? You'll find that putting them in the right place will fix most of the big things. And the mountain doesn't seem so big when you move all the little rocks out of the way. So what is it about you that's not like Jesus? Well, start there. What do you want to be more like Him in? Do you want to be more loving and compassionate? That's who He is. Do you want to be more merciful and gracious? That's who He is. Do you have trouble with your temper, or do you have trouble with temperance? You got anger issues? Do you have balance issues? What do you got? Are you too proud and lofty, so you need to be humble? Okay, Lord, how do I do this? Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How am I going to be like Him? Well, let Him direct your steps. How am I going to keep all these things in line? It is simple. Follow, 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 follow. Do you have any goals? Physical goals, spiritual goals, do you have any goals? If you looked at your life tonight and you just said, hey, this is where I don't measure up. This is where my family doesn't measure up. This is where my spiritual walk's not measuring up. This is where I need to do better on my soul winning. This is where I need to do better on my prayer life. This is where I need to do better in my Bible reading. This is where I have to do better in this and this. And just start lining them up. What would you need to change first? Okay, how? Start working a plan. God has a plan. The problem is we go, I'm going to be like Jesus one day, and when a trumpet sounds, I'll make it. Okay, what are we doing in the meantime? It's not always big sweeping changes. It's very simple, small things. The ship is not moved by the giant pieces. It's moved by one small rudder and a tiny helm, and it turns about the whole ship. Small things. So what's your changes? Do you have any vision for your family, for yourself, for your spiritual walk, for the church? What do you have for goals? How are you going to get them? Where there is no vision, the people perish. I hope your family is not going to be a sacrifice on the altar of no visions. I hope your spiritual walk isn't. You know why our spiritual walk becomes so mundane? Because we have no vision. Growth isn't there. We get stagnant. We get boring. Oh, well, it's just the same old. Why is it just the same old, same old? Isn't it exciting to be walking with the God that created you? It should be. A vision for the new year. I hope you have one. Father, I do pray you would. Bless our time together. Bless the food. We're going to go next door and the fellowship time and whoever can join us. I pray you would bless our night tonight. I thank you so much for bringing us all together. Father, help us, Lord, to have a great vision for what you have going and what you'd like us to do in 2025. Father, for as long as you tarry, I pray we would keep our course steady upon being more like you. But Father, I pray you'd help us to understand today we need some goals we need this year. Some things we can do now, not looking so far in the future that we never can attain. Father, I pray you'd bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.